I've decided to open my first savings account.
I've decided to reclaim my health.
I've decided to give faith
a second chance.
Time now for the I've Decided radio show, sponsored by I've Decided, an organization in Peoria designed to motivate people just like you to achieve your goals, from physical to financial health, to learning a new skill or being a better spouse. Now, I've Decided Radio.
Good morning, Central Illinois. You are tuning in to I've Decided radio show this morning. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided and host of your show today. We are so excited that you are with us this morning and taking the opportunity to listen to our show. Maybe you're listening live or you're listening back on social media or on our website. We're happy to have you wherever you are, wherever you're listening today. This is a great show designed for you to help you in your goals and dreams, whatever they are. And that's exactly what we do at I've Decided. Our mission is your success. We want you to be successful in whatever endeavor that you choose to achieve. We want to go alongside you and offer you the resources and the tools and information and motivation and all of those keys to success. If you haven't visited our website lately, please check it out, ivedecided.org. It is a great resource for you, and you can join our community there too. So if this is your first time to hear about our community and it sounds interesting and you want to learn more, that's where you can learn more. Get signed up so that you can receive our weekly winning resources. Every Sunday afternoon, we send out your weekly winning resource, and it includes your weekly winning word. And this week's weekly winning word is initiative. And so that's what we're going to be talking about all week. And so when I thought about this word and I was trying to figure out who I should have on the show, I couldn't think of a better guest than my friend Kristen Mathers. Hey, Kristen. Oh, welcome to the show. Lots to talk about today because this topic is a pretty hot topic right now. Talk about taking an initiative in the healthcare industry, health insurance specifically. That's what you've done. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. But while we're talking about this, I hope that it inspires you to take initiative in your life, whatever it is, that urge that you have, something that you want to take control of. The definition of initiative is the ability to assess and initiate things independently or to take charge before others do. And Kristen, you're kind of we've gotten to know each other over the last year, and I would say you're definitely kind of a take charge kind of gal. I bet most of your friends would agree with that. So this initiative with the health insurance, to start, you know, just let us know, how did that start to burn within you? Like, you've got to do something about this.
Most of you wouldn't know this, but Kim and I also work together in a number of other projects, and really in our businesses together, we kind of end up collaborating a lot, and we do a lot of trainings, and in those trainings, we talk about how anything, any goal that you have has to do with baby steps. You don't just start, Kim likes to use the analogy, you just don't start losing weight if you don't have a daily routine that includes brushing your teeth.
That sounds weird, but it's true.
What really started was I wanted to start a business. And so my initial declare and my initial goal was to start my own business. And as I researched it, and as I had my own health issues. And as I became more passionate about my own health issues, I realized that there was a business there in helping other people solve their health issues. So that was my first initiative. And as that grew, that became a business. And then I started working for health insurance companies, helping their, what I call low-hanging fruit. They're people that could be well, but they have risk factors for certain diseases, or they have certain diseases and they're young, or they have certain diseases and they're older, and those diseases can be reversed with lifestyle issues. I mean, most of the top 10 causes of death are fully reversible through lifestyle issues, and we don't necessarily talk about that as a society. What we really talk about is weight loss, and it's a multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry, but health itself is not. And so really began the conversation about what is health? What do your cells need in order to survive? Because healthy cells equal a healthy body. Because you're made up of a mass of cells, right? So that began that process. And then after Obamacare had been around for, you know, a couple of years, I had a lot of friends in business who were saying, this is crushing me. Small businesses who were, you know, looking at family premiums going up from, you know, $1,700 a month, or from, you know, $800 a month to $1,700 a month for a family of four, and they had a $10,000 deductible, and so they've got their, you know, $30,000 out of pocket, you know, plus or minus, out of pocket before they even step foot in a doctor's office. So that seemed like a really stupid and untenable situation to me. And so I started researching, okay, well, large businesses can be self-insured, and large businesses can do things to amalgamate their buying power and use that to reduce their rates. And they're not even doing everything. In most cases, a lot of large companies aren't doing everything that they could be doing or that we're doing in this project. So, you know, when you go, if you own a business, you are constantly mitigating risk. Well, you mitigate risk in your property and casualty insurance. I also run PALS Preschool locally. And our insurance carrier comes to us and says, okay, well, you've got to make sure these doors shut this way so little fingers don't get pinched in them. And you've got to make sure these walkways are clear. So, and that helps lower our rates because we're doing things to actively mitigate our risk in terms of having a claim. Why don't health insurance companies do that? Why aren't health insurance companies coming to you and saying, these are the things that you can do to mitigate your risk, and here's how we'll give you, quote unquote, a safe driver discount for your body, or here's how you can earn a safe driver discount for your body. They don't do that. So this initiative is really about bringing all of the pieces of risk management together for small employers. And even larger ones, you know, we've talked to groups as high as, you know, over 1,000, but we're really trying to focus on the more people we get into the program, the more we can take smaller and smaller groups. Ideally, right now, we're looking at probably, you know, anybody above 25. But as we get more and more people in, we can take smaller and smaller groups, and even under 10. And ideally, the objective is to get to the point where we can take self-employed individuals so that they would be able to benefit from.
When you get to a certain level, you'll be able to take smaller groups, but you have to get to a certain number first. So let me, what I'm hearing you say is that at this point, at this day and age, I'm a healthy person. My husband's a healthy person. We take care of ourselves. We aren't on any medications, and we only go to the doctor for our regular checkups. However, when we are in a fully funded pool, we are not getting any kind of, nobody's saying to me, Kim, good job for running 30 miles a week, because you run 30 miles a week and take all of your vitamins and drink your water and you're healthy. You're going to save 10, 15%, 20%, anything off your insurance.
Right. So if you have car insurance, you know that Geico and Progressive and all these companies now offer a safe driver discount. And one of the ways that they quote your rates in car insurance, and even in property and casualty and homeowners and all different types of insurance for, on a personal level, the way that they quote your rates is they look at your track record. One of the things that they want to know is, are you married? And because married people tend to behave more responsibly than non-married people. And they want to know your age, because people of a certain age tend to behave more responsibly than, you know, younger people, especially when you're dealing with car insurance. And they want to know, obviously, driving history.
Yeah, have you had any tickets? Are you a risk?
And they also want to know your credit score.
Oh, yeah.
Because they want to know how responsible you are with money and credit score, or how responsible you are in general. And credit score tends to relay a good responsibility index for where you are. Well, in health insurance, we can't use a lot of that data. The only data that you can use to give someone a quote-unquote safe driver discount or to give somebody a benefit is because you could come to the insurance carrier and say, I run 30 miles a week, and they're going to go, well, good for you, but you can't. We have I'm in our model.
Right. I'm pulled in with everyone. And this isn't a fully funded model.
And the other thing is that there are two types of models, as you bring up. One is fully funded, and that means that, you know, and most people are familiar with fully funded. You go to your carrier, Blue Cross Blue Shield or whatever, and they quote you a rate on your insurance, and you pay it, and you have a deductible, and if you pay your premiums, they pay your claims costs, usually on an 80-20 basis after you've reached your deductible. And there are certain things that might be covered entirely, like wellness visits and things like that. Obamacare, or ACA, also wrote into it, the only nice thing about it, in my opinion, is that they wrote in this biometric screening deal where a carrier can actually charge a person less or more depending on how healthy they are based on 5 biometric screening results. One is BMI, and that's body mass index, in case you don't know, and that's a function of how tall you are versus how much you weigh and how big your middle is. It's a formula. The second is cholesterol. We're all pretty familiar with those results. Interestingly, side note, cholesterol is not a great predictor of heart disease. I always say that cholesterol is the ambulance at the scene of the accident that gets blamed for the accident. Cholesterol, we have both good and bad cholesterol. And you want that ratio to be right, but you also want, 50% of people who die of heart disease have normal cholesterol. So it's heart disease is not just a function of cholesterol, but it is a marker that's allowed in this particular biometric screening. You have blood pressure, most people know what that is. You have smoking, and you have your fasting glucose levels, which means that they take a finger prick and they determine what your blood sugar is on a fasting basis, and it should be below 100. And ideally, if you're burning fat at night, you want it to be between 70 and 80. If it's anywhere from 80 to 100, you're getting away from efficient fat burning while you sleep. And if it's above 100, you're really not an efficient fat burner. And the higher you get above 100, the more your risk for diabetes. And if it's consistently high above 100, you are at risk for diabetes, and you eventually will have diabetes. When you get into the higher ranges, 125, you definitely have diabetes. So those biometric screenings allow a carrier to A, determine your risk factors for future diseases, and if you're based on your age and your risk factors, they can now say, oh, well, this person's 45 or 50, and they're much less at risk for these diseases than the average population, so they could potentially get a safe driver discount. Well, fully funded, as far as I know, I haven't seen anybody doing this yet. Markets don't do this. And even a lot of self-insured people don't do this. And so self-insurance is a product where a company like, a big company like Caterpillar or
OSF,
or any large company that employs a lot of people, they can say, you know what, we can pool our risk together as one. So if we have so many employees, we can now pool our risk together as one. And we're basically insuring our own risk. In the beginning, that company, and maybe throughout the lifetime of their insured product, their self-insured product, they'll go out and buy what's called reinsurance. And so basically for each individual in that self-insured pool, the company who's backing the pool and responsible financially at the end of the day is going to take risk from whatever the deductible of the employee is, which let's say it's $500, up to, let's say, $25,000. And then the reinsurer is going to take the risk beyond that level. So they're really responsible for that $500 to $25,000 number for each employee. And then they have an aggregate number. So let's say it's $250,000 or $500,000 or whatever. So that they meet that aggregate number as well, and they have a lot of sick employees in 1 year, let's say, so then the reinsurer will take over from there. And so they pay premium in order to mitigate their potential downside risk.
So because they have become self-funded, they have some control and say so over what they do with their employees.
Correct. And then so a lot of them will initiate, they know that they need to mitigate the risk of loss. And they know that they need to get their employees healthy in order to do that. But behavior change is the hardest part of that equation. And so So most companies that do self-insured programs may try wellness programs, but they're very sporadically effective. So what we've created is a program that we've used with other companies that creates a reward basis for a number of different things. We have an online program where people can go and they can fill in a health risk assessment, and that health risk assessment will return results to them about what diseases they're at risk for and what lifestyle issues or what things that they're doing that are increasing their risk for that disease, and what things that they're doing that are decreasing that risk, their risk for disease. So now they can start looking at their own behaviors and say, how do I take this negative and turn it into a positive? Or how do I get this off my risk factor profile? And what can I do to add to my positive side of my risk factor profile? So that gives the employee or any individual the tools to say, well, how do I mitigate my risk? Because, you know, we're always talking about weight loss, but you can have somebody who's really thin, but they're really at risk for disease because of other lifestyle issues like smoking, and what kind of food they eat.
Yeah, because thin doesn't mean healthy. Exactly. There's a lot of markers, like you said, that represent healthy.
Yeah. So what we're doing is we're giving people the tools to say, what is healthy? And what can you do to increase your risk for remaining healthy? Because would you rather spend your time on this planet living, or would you rather spend your time on this planet dying? And a lot of the people that I've dealt with and that I've counseled and coached are people that were on a really strong path to dying. They, you know, 30s, 40s, 60s even, and they're spending their days going to work, drudging it, and then getting home and laying on the couch, and that's all they can do. And they don't have any energy, and they can't play with their grandkids, and they're overweight, they can't figure out how to get out of the cycle. And so this online portal that we have, as well as the coaches that we have, help people get out of the cycle. We teach them what nutrients they need to be taking, what foods they should be eating, what those foods will do for the body, and how they should be exercising. Although I don't push exercise initially, I let people kind of decide that they're ready for it, which Jet tends to happen within about 2 months. Most people will start off saying, I'm not exercising. And then within 2 months, I'll talk to them and they'll be like, yeah, I went for a jog.
Well, because success begets success. And so this, it is those baby steps. And once they start to realize, but okay, so what we're doing and what we're seeing then is with your health insurance and this initiative that you're taking is that now small businesses can actually have the opportunity to pool together and have a self-funded model. Yep. Whereas normally a small business would not be able to do a self-funded model because they wouldn't probably have enough money to do that. But if we have enough small businesses willing to come together, we can run as a self-funded model so that we can implement Sure Wellness, your company wellness program that has the tools to help people get healthy.
Mm-hmm. You've got a couple of different factors in place. One is any business goes from a fully funded model to a self-funded model, they're going from being part of a large pool of what does the United States health profile look like. And right now, if you look at a census map of the United States in terms of obesity and in terms of risk for diseases, it's not pretty. And it's getting not pretty at a younger and younger age. And so
it's not getting better. It's getting way worse.
And so you're looking at you're jumping into a pool with a lot of garbage in it. So would you rather jump into a pool with a lot of garbage into it, or would you rather jump into a clean pool? And so what we're trying to create is a clean pool, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be the healthiest person in order to jump in. It does mean that you have to be willing and make steps to getting healthy so that you're not putting other people at risk for paying for your diseases. So for example, in the fully funded model, you get sick, the insurance company pays for it, but the insurance company pays for it because they've taken premium from thousands of other people. In the self-funded model, the same is true. However, now you know the people that you're taking money from in order for them to pay for your unhealthy habits. And so now we're looking at it and saying, well, how can we act as a team and create a culture of wellness so that we're all not funding silly medical visits. We're actually all living better together, and we're all making healthy choices together, and we're all getting better.
And we're reaping the benefits of paying a lot less for health insurance, which is an amazing initiative. Hey, so if you are just tuning in, you're listening to I've Decided Radio this morning. I'm Kim Martin, founder of I've Decided, host of your show. I am talking to my friend and founder of Sure Wellness, Kristen Mathers. We're talking about her initiative that she's taken with the health insurance, which is really quite remarkable. And hopefully it's piquing your interest, especially if you happen to be a small business owner who provides health insurance for your employees. You want to reach out and get an appointment with Kristen so you can learn more about what she's doing and get on this initiative, I assure you. But hopefully, if it's not, maybe you're just motivated that someone would take such a leap of faith out into this runaway train of health insurance to do something that you may be motivated to do your own initiative, whatever that might be. And that's what we want to help you do. We want you to be successful. So talking about the runaway train, Kristen, you mentioned it a little bit, but the numbers don't look good. And it really is a runaway train. If we don't do something about it, we're going to crash and burn. And it's going to impact all of us.
Yeah, we have an epidemic in this country. You know, a lot of people, you know, regardless of your thoughts on Obamacare or whether or not it should be repealed or not, and a lot of people feel as though there should be free health insurance. And I don't necessarily disagree. You know, bad things happen to good people. And there's a couple things that have happened as a result of Obamacare. One is that the costs of care have skyrocketed exponentially. I was at a forum a few weeks ago called FMMA, and it's Free Market Medical Association. I believe it's FMMA.org if you want to look them up. It's pretty cool organization. And they're all about creating a free market. So, you know, if you're pregnant and you called the hospital, which my assistant was pregnant about, you know, 9 months ago. Well, she's pregnant. The baby's now 7.
So however long that, I was like, yeah.
And about 9 months ago, she started calling hospitals to say, how much is this going to cost? And they couldn't tell her. They wouldn't tell her. And so if you go in for a procedure, how fair is it for you to go in for any procedure? You wouldn't go into and buy a car and have them say, well, we don't know how much it's going to be. We're just going to start sending you bills. And then when we get done, we get done. And that's kind of what happens. I had an MRI about 2 years ago, and I got a bill after the insurance company had paid all the bills, after everything had been paid for, which was over $5,000. I got another bill for $1,200 from some random company I'd never even heard of, and they would not go away. I thought it was a clerical error. And so the MRI ended up costing over $6,000. And then when I went to, there's a cool tool also called Healthcare Blue Book. It's like a Kelly Blue Book, but it's health.
Right.
And in Peoria area, the most expensive MRI is for this type of MRI was what I got. And from actually, they not only rate the product or the procedure, they also rate the carrier or the provider to say, is this the best care you could get? Are they the fastest? Are they the most thorough? Whatever. And I could have gotten that same MRI for $900.
Wow.
Granted, you may think, well, the insurance company paid for it. Well, no, actually, they didn't, because I had to pay my deductible, which let's say is $500. And then the $5,500 has to be split 80-20. So now I've got to pay 20% of $5,500. My out-of-pocket expenses were well above $900. And if I had done the $900 version or known about it, I would have paid my $500, and then I would have paid 80-20 on $900. I still would have come out ahead.
Right. And I think that's a issue because people don't recognize that. They just think the insurance pays for it.
Well, they do. They think, oh, you know, I can do this. And I think a lot of people, I see people in grocery stores and they're carts are lined with sodas. You know, they've got the ring sodas and they've got them all lined around the edge. And then they've got all kinds of junk in the cart. And some of them even say to me, I'm embarrassed to be standing next to you in line. of grocery or fruits and vegetables and mine's full of junk. And I'm like, well, you can always go back and change that.
Right. Starting now.
I think a lot of people think, well, I'll just eat this because it's food and because it's calories, and they think a calorie is a calorie. And so they're not really trained into what, they're thinking about weight loss instead of about what keeps my body healthy and functioning on a proper level. And they also think that when they get sick, the insurance company is going to pay the bill. And I think we all have to start being responsible for the money that we spend in terms of what are we spending and what are we getting back for that. And even if it's not our money, let's be conscious about how it's being spent. The other thing that's happening, and one of the things I said earlier with, you know, healthcare rates rising, the reason Obamacare has caused such a rise and increase in healthcare rates is A, because we have an unhealthier and unhealthier pool. So the more your risk, the more the overall risk, the more the rates of everybody in the pool go up. So if you have 80% of the pool that's really unhealthy and 20% that's healthy, that 20% is going to pay a much higher premium. So is the 80%, but relative to the benefit that the 80% is getting versus what the 20% is getting, it's not fair.
Right.
So we want to start keeping that balance, because it used to be that 80% paid for the 20% that had something unfortunate happen to them. Now it's 20% paying for the 80% that don't have 97%. I may be wrong on this. I've got to go back and check my notes. But up almost 97% of healthcare costs are preventable. They're wellness related. They're related to something that you could have done in advance to change. A very small percentage is related to accidents or bad things happening to good people. And what we need to go back to is having insurance there, so it's there for bad things happening to good people, and so that the rest of the good people are really maintaining their health and taking care of themselves. And to this note, the other thing that has caused rates to go up so dramatically is Obamacare said that an insurance carrier can only make a 15% profit. Well, if you're an insurance carrier, would you rather make a 15% profit on $1 billion worth of claims or $100 million worth of claims? So they don't necessarily, they're not curtailing claims that much. They may be to some degree, but they're not doing it as much as they could, because, for example, you know, that $6,000 MRI, that somebody should have called me and said, hey, you know, you can get that from these five providers, and oh, by the way, it would benefit the insurance carrier to say, if you get it for under $900, we'll pay for 100%. And that's the other thing that we're doing with our product, is we're looking at ways to steer people into more inexpensive procedures with higher quality providers. We don't want you to go, you know, to somebody in the back alley.
Right.
But we want you to do the best carrier possible. But there are some actually better carriers out there, or better providers out there, that are much, much cheaper than the conventional.
Well, there are doctors that are going down this path of saying, we're out of this. We're going to start, you know, showing people what they're paying and educating them, and we see a better way. And that is...
And for the physician as well. I mean, when you, at this FMMA conference, for the physician, you know, one of the physicians got up and said, I'm spending, when I go into the office, I have to have, if I deal with somebody who's on insurance and I spend a day on insurance people, I have to have five accountants and account representatives handling that caseload of people for the day. If I go in and I deal, and I get less time with the patients because I have so much documentation to do and I have so much more work to do on behalf of the insurance carrier, that I get far less time with the patients, to the tune of about 10 minutes. Whereas if I go in all day and I'm dealing with self-pay people, people who pay cash, not only do I have fewer administrators, I only need one, and I also get to spend 40 minutes per patient, you know, per visit.
Right.
Instead of 10. So I, as a physician, I get a much better experience. The patient gets a much better experience, and there's not nearly as much red tape. And some of the slides that this particular individual had, you know, showed the increase in costs. And when you look at the increase in costs, the money's not going to the doctor. The money's going to the administrator. The money is going if you look at the line, it's a straight line of a mountain, and you know, here's the little path down at the bottom that the physician's getting, and then up towards the top, that's all administrative. Anything above the path is all administrative costs.
Wow. That's a whole nother story in itself. That's another show, I should say. I can't believe it. Our 30 minutes is up, Kristen. This is a topic we could talk about all day. But hey, I hope you've enjoyed this show. And let's all take initiative to take control of our health, to take control of our health insurance, to recognize that, we may have health insurance and they may be footing the bill right now. But if we do not fix that runaway train, eventually it's going to impact us all. And it's going to even be worse. And we have to take the initiative to do something about it. So I'm grateful for you, Kristen. Thank you for what you're doing. I'm happy to be a part of it. Yes. And tell them how they can reach you.
Well, you can reach me on my website at surewellness.com, and it's spelled SHURWELLNESS.com. And once again, my name is Kristen Mathers, and you can email me at Kristen@surewellness.com.
And we are definitely looking for those businesses out there in our community who you're in a fully funded insurance company, and Kristen's company can get you converted over to a self-funded model where you can potentially save a lot of money. And and you want to take a look at that for sure.
With your wellness goals, and you have, you're borderline diabetic, or you don't know what to do, we're happy to help with it.
Absolutely. Awesome. Kristen, thank you so much. And thank you for tuning in today. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to I've Decided Radio, sponsored by I've Decided, a local organization designed to help motivate you to reach your goals. Listen every Sunday morning at this time for I've Decided Radio. For more information, go to ivedecided.org. What will you decide?